Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia on the 8th of November 2014. Welcome to the show, folks. My name's Hereward Fenton. It's great to have you aboard. In today's show, I'm going to be spending quite a bit of time today looking at some climate change news. We're going to look at the latest IPCC report and the coverage it's received from the Australian news media. Then we're going to look at one of the brewing controversies in Australia over the way our climate is recorded, the way the historical data is actually collected by the Bureau of Meteorology in Australia. And I'm particularly interested in looking at the scandal itself, which is quite interesting and serious in that the Bureau of Meteorology is actually not presenting to the public data that goes back beyond about 1910. But what's almost more important to me is to understand the way in which the debate on this type of thing is being gagged, and the way in which people who stand up to have some questions, such as MP George Christensen of the Liberal National Party, are simply treated with scorn and regarded as being some sort of lunatics for actually being concerned that we're not actually getting the correct information from a government body. But look, let's begin with the coverage of the IPCC report. And I'll just read you here an article from the ABC. This is the 2nd of November 2014. IPCC report warns greenhouse gas levels are at the highest point in 800,000 years, identifying fossil fuels as the cause of recent increases. The world's top scientists have given their clearest warning yet of the severe and irreversible impacts of climate change. The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has released its synthesis report, a summary of its last three reports. This is very interesting to note that this is actually a synthesis report rather than a new report, but it's being presented as if it is a new report. It warns greenhouse gas levels are at their highest that they have been in 800,000 years, with recent increases mostly due to the burning of fossil fuels. Continued emissions of greenhouse gases will cause further warming and long-lasting changes in all components of the climate system, increasing the likelihood of severe, pervasive, and irreversible impacts for people and ecosystems, the report said. Limiting climate change would require substantial and sustained reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, which, together with adaptation, can limit climate change risks. IPCC Chairman Rajendra Pachauri said the comprehensive report brings together all the pieces of the puzzle in climate research and predictions. It's not discrete and highlights distinct elements of climate change that people have to deal with, but also how you might be able to deal with this problem on a comprehensive basis by understanding how these pieces of the puzzle actually come together, Dr. Pachauri said. The report reiterates that the planet is unequivocally warming, that burning fossil fuels is significantly increasing greenhouse gas emissions, and that the effects of climate change, like sea level rises, are already being felt. Now, I'd just like at this point to raise a couple of points. That the statements there that I just read are not actually in dispute, even by the climate skeptics, by the most determined climate skeptics. They all agree, indeed, that the Earth's climate has been warming. Indeed, it is an obvious fact to anyone who knows anything about the history of this planet that the climate has been warming indeed. The climate went through a glaciation period that lasted until approximately 12,000 years ago, after which vast amounts of the air of area of the planet were that had been covered in ice were freed up, and the sea levels rose dramatically. And during the last 12,000 years, there have been cycles of warming and cooling, the most recent of which is a warming that began at the end of what is now known as the Little Ice Age. Now, of course, over the last 12 to 15 years, there appears to have been a pause in that warming. But, you know, I'd be the first to agree that that is too short a time frame for it to be considered as important, as significant. It's statistically insignificant in the larger scheme of things. But what is clear is that there has been a warming since the end of the Little Ice Age, when the Thames froze over. When it was very, very, very cold, very, very cold winters in Europe. And indeed, sea levels have been rising. And indeed, carbon dioxide levels that have been measured atmospherically have been increasing. In order to understand what is really going on here, we have to understand that there is an agenda at work, that there are political forces in place that are trying to achieve certain outcomes. And one of the outcomes that these people are pushing for is a universal carbon tax, or carbon trading, as you may call it. This is part of the framework for what may be termed global governance, which is seen by those who promote it as a completely benign and indeed wonderful thing. They see global governance as being about bringing the whole planet under one sensible, rational system. And climate change is a vehicle for that. Now, of course, when anyone says this, they're immediately derided as being wild conspiracy theorists, when it is a simple observation that this is what they are setting up, and that it has been discussed by groups like the Club of Rome going back 30, 40 years, that this is what they wanted to do. What's interesting about that is that there is an attempt to silence the discussion about what is actually happening so that it can continue to happen without being commented on. And that's actually worse. That's more disturbing than what they're doing itself. I mean, if what they're doing is for the greater good, if it's benign, then let's talk about it, let's have it all aired, and let's say, well, yes, you know, they're using climate change as a way to bring in this global governance, but it's all for the greater good. But they won't even admit that. They have to have you believe that they're only doing this because there is this emergency. Oh, my God, you know, the sky is falling. Therefore, we have to take some measures, right? And the UN body is just sitting there as like the messenger, saying, well, there's all this terrible stuff that's happening. But they are there to make sure that we accept this as factual, and that we accept it with the imprint of science, of men in white coats who are unassailable, who cannot be questioned, because remember, science is truth. Unlike, say, religious views, opinion, culture, that's just subjective. Science is truth. So what's really important to understand here is that this is a framework, it's a religion, because, see, religions talk in absolutes. And you may say I'm exaggerating. Many people, some have listened to this show, have said, I'm being ridiculous and I'm exaggerating. But if you look at the debate, and I've been engaged in talking about this with various people, some on Facebook, and the angle that those who are behind this take is always the same. It's always, we are the flame bearers of truth. We represent science. There is only one way of looking at this, which is valid. You, because you take this contrarian position, you are a weirdo, you are a fringe dweller, and you are a threat to science and progress. And there is no debate. Because everyone who has the right to an opinion agrees on this. Now, this is a trend in our society which needs to be looked at on its own. You know, regardless of what you believe about climate change, or what side of the fence you're on there, right? If you can't look at this trend in our society of absolutism in social discourse and reflect on that, then you're not participating in democracy at all. You're just actually someone who wants to go along with a totalitarian agenda. And we see exactly the same themes played out in many other topics. And this is what really gives you an insight into what is really going on here. We see the same style of crushing of dissent, of totalitarianism in thought in relation to people who question vaccines, in relation to people who question other aspects of the medical treatments and the best way to maintain our health. We see it in people who question our response to global threats. We see it even in our response to genetically modified foods. We see it as a response to those who do not go along with what is given to you as being the official agenda, as being the official truth. Now, in the next segment, I actually want to play to you a clip from Leslie Hughes, who's an Australian author of the latest IPCC report. And I want to actually play to you a clip of her speaking, and I want to kind of deconstruct it a little, because it's very important to understand what is going on here. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Hereward Fenton. Great pleasure to be with you today. Be right back after this break. Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Hereward Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. You're with Truth News Radio. Now I'm going to play to you a clip from Leslie Hughes of the IPCC speaking about the threat that we all face. And the title here is that business as usual will create the warmest earth ever. Here we go.
It's the most comprehensive appraisal of climate change ever undertaken, and the news isn't good. The United Nations Climate Change Body's new report says the scientific evidence is unambiguous about the warming of the planet and the need for action. Greenhouse gases are at their highest levels for 800,000 years. The Earth is on a trajectory for warming of at least 4 degrees Celsius by 2100. That'll mean more and longer heat waves and storms and more species extinctions.
Okay, just pause it there. Just briefly address this question about greenhouse gas levels, because this is something that I've talked about on this show a number of times. The question of what were historical levels of greenhouse gases is not as straightforward as they would have you believe. The method by which climate scientists now use to determine ancient carbon dioxide levels is through analysing the ice cores. They are taken from Antarctica. There are other methods. Those methods have now fallen into disfavour. But there are many, many academic articles going back many years that present completely conflicting estimates of CO2 levels. And some of them are just wildly fluctuating from levels below what they are now to levels greatly higher than what they are now, even within the last few hundred years. The ice core samples are using bubbles of gas in compressed ice that has been compressed over vast periods of time. And so the time scales measured are very compressed as well. The Vostok ice core samples don't give you very, very narrow band measurements of what CO2 levels were in shorter periods of time. And this is where we have to understand that CO2 levels can fluctuate very, very greatly over short periods of time. Now, just looking at the official website here of the Mauna Loa CO2 measurement facility, NOAA, you can see that CO2 levels actually fluctuate on a yearly basis by quite a dramatic amount. Of course, that's averaged out, and what we're given is the mean. But that is one piece of evidence that shows you that CO2 levels are by no means static. But there's other research that's been done that has suggested that there are other larger cycles in CO2, and one is a 65-year cycle. Now, what this means, of course, is that whatever is being measured right now from the atmosphere may or may not signify a long-term trend. There is really no way of knowing that, because the methods that are currently being used to measure CO2 have only been employed since about 1960. So there is simply not enough data to determine a long-term trend. Then if you look at the older data, which was done through chemical measurements, it presents huge variations in CO2 levels, which are not seen in the ice core reconstructions. But that may well be simply because the ice core reconstructions do not cater to the smaller time frames that the chemical measurements involved going back in the last few hundred years. So I just wanted to clarify that point about CO2 levels. Also, the point about temperature rise, I mean, that is really at the dramatic extreme end of projections when she said 4 degrees. There is simply no evidence that we're on a trajectory for that at all. I mean, it is actually, I believe, a complete transgression of even the facts of the IPCC to say we are on a trajectory now of 4 degrees. I think that is actually the ABC kind of editorializing. Because, I mean, if you look at the current trajectory, as you might say, half a degree in the last 50 years, I mean, how does that equate to 4 degrees in the next 100 years? It doesn't make any sense, does it? But when they say trajectory, what they mean is there's going to be this acceleration. And, of course, that's all based on the theory of climate sensitivity, which, again, has been challenged by some very, very respectable scientists like David Evans, who said that the sensitivity of climate to CO2 levels is nowhere near what the IPCC has projected. So let's just continue now, because I want to get into more of the substance of what Leslie Hughes has to say. So just continuing now with the ABC coverage.
The report calls for the unrestricted use of fossil fuels to be phased out by the end of the century. World leaders share the United Nations view that action is necessary, from United States President Barack Obama, who warned about the dangers of inaction, to the British Prime Minister David Cameron, who believes climate change is a threat of epic proportions. So what exactly are the implications of this latest report, and does it change anything given what we already know? I was joined earlier tonight by Leslie Hughes, one of the lead authors on this Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report. Leslie Hughes, what will happen if the warming of the planet continues on its current path?
Well, under what we call a business-as-usual trajectory, and we've already had about a degree of warming since pre-industrial times, we will almost certainly get another half a degree or a degree by 2030.
I just have to pause it there. She said we've had a degree of warming since pre-industrial times. Pre-industrial times, folks, that means going back to about 1800. Now, that warming, most of that warming cannot have had anything to do with human activity. I mean, this is the IPCC's official position on this. They say that human activity did not have a significant impact on CO2 until the mid-20th century. So for her to bring in pre-industrial times is actually deliberately dishonest. I have to say this. It is a deliberate furphy. It is really appalling, ladies and gentlemen, to have to actually face up to the fact that this woman, Leslie Hughes, is a liar. I mean, she should be out of work. And we should be in the streets marching against this. I know it's happened before. I know there's been some great protests that have been done. And indeed, we did turn it around. We did turn it around. We abolished the carbon tax in Australia. But what you can see is that they haven't given up. And they're using these PR muppets like Leslie Hughes to just stir things up again. Why? Only because there's a political agenda at work. Let's continue.
Under a business-as-usual trajectory, the IPCC is saying 3.7 to 4.8 degrees by the end of this century.
And what would be the practical effect of that?
Well, to put it into context, if we get to 1.5 degrees, we'll have a warmer planet than at any other time in human history. So beyond that is beyond the experience of any humans ever on the planet. Most of the countries around the world have signed up to try to limit warming to 2 degrees or less on the understanding, at least the projected understanding, that beyond 2 degrees we're starting to get some really serious impacts.
And what would they be?
Well, we're already seeing the ice caps melting, sea levels going up, coastal flooding.
Okay, we're just taking a break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to have your company today. And I'd just like to put a call out to anyone who's listened to the show, perhaps you're a subscriber. I've currently got a need for someone to help me with doing producer work for the show. And by producer, I actually mean the business of bringing guests onto the show. My producer, Leah, who's been helping me for the past year, has had to take a break. She's just snowed in with a lot of work she's doing. And it's actually quite a difficult task sometimes organising interviews. It takes me a lot of time, and it's often better to have someone else doing it, just the separation of tasks. If anyone would like to help with that, I mean, I can give you some guidance, and I've got a list of contacts. It basically involves making contact if it's a new person, or if it's a person we've already had on, it's a lot easier. But it involves making contact, suggesting times, and then kind of touching base with both myself and the interviewee to make sure that that works. It's a fiddly business and can be a bit time-consuming. But if there's anyone out there who would like to help with that, I would greatly appreciate it. I mean, we have the opportunity to get really great guests on this show. At the moment, I don't have any guests lined up for today. I did try and organise someone for this week, but it fell through, unfortunately. So, just if you are listening to this and you'd like to help, get back to me at the email address, editor@truthnews.com.au, and I will talk to you about it. So let's just continue now with the interview here from Leslie Hughes from the IPCC. I just point out that I just want to comment on the last point she made. Ice caps melting, sea levels on the rise. Well, of course, sea levels are rising at a steady rate. You know, they've been rising. As we said, the world has been coming out of this cooling period known as the Little Ice Age. The ice glaciers and ice caps have been thinning, but lately, the Antarctic ice sheet has actually been increasing in thickness. Antarctic ice has been greater than at any time in history that we know of. So, again, she's lying, folks. I have to say, she's lying. I wish this wasn't the case. I wish we didn't have to call out these people on such blatant violations of trust. Fraud, really. I mean, normally you try to give people the benefit of the doubt and you say, well, you know, they're trying their best. But she's not. Well, she's trying her best to please her bosses. And she doesn't care about leading you up the garden path. It's appalling, really, isn't it? Anyway, let's continue now and we'll just finish off with this interview.
We're seeing increases in hotter, drier droughts, hotter, drier heat waves. Here in Australia, we're suffering the effects of earlier bushfire seasons. It's those sorts of extreme events which really cause the impacts that are in our future.
Again, and none of these things have been proven to have any association with climate change. We've always had bushfires, we've always had droughts, we've always had heat waves. What an offensive load of rubbish you're talking. Sorry to interject. We'll continue.
Even more so.
The report says that the period from 1983 to 2012 is likely the warmest 30-year period of the last 1,400 years. It also says that greenhouse gas levels are the highest they've been in over 800,000 mm-hmm. years. Yeah. How do you know that?
Well, with greenhouse gases, what we can do is put long cores through polar ice caps and measure the gases that are trapped in the bubbles going back many hundreds of thousands of years. So that's how we know that. We also use things like tree rings and borehole temperatures as what's called proxies for temperature in the long term. But of course, over the last 100 years or so, we've been able to measure it with temperature gauges.
The report also acknowledges the pause in warming over the past decade, which is something that climate sceptics often point to. How do you explain that and mm-hmm. where does that fit within the overall picture of global warming?
Okay, so what they're referring to is a slight slowdown in the rate of air temperature warming. But when we look at the global climate has not stopped warming. About 90% of the extra heat is going into the oceans. And there's
okay, got to stop it right there. The question about heat going into the oceans, this is another furphy, ladies and gentlemen. This is another complete furphy. You see, the average person, the average punter, unfortunately, doesn't have the time to go into this, to evaluate any of these statements which are given to you as facts. Oh, 90% of the extra heat is going into the oceans. Why? But just let's just think about it. Why would suddenly the heat be going into the oceans and not into the air? Well, I mean, why would it suddenly change? If the air was getting warmer and it stopped, how can you simply casually say, oh, the heat's now gone into the oceans, as if the heat just decided to jump into the ocean? And that's, she's treating you like a fool. It is really pathetic. And you know, I have to say, I was actually encouraged to read this by an academic person who claimed great expertise and claimed that I was extremely stupid, that I should simply watch this to clarify my position. And what I'm watching here is someone talking on an infantile level, contemptuous towards the general public, and quite willing to just spit out nonsense, lies, utter dishonesty. What is the level of our public discourse sunk to that this has now become normal? Continuing.
Been absolutely no pause in the warming of the ocean. So taken at a global level, the world is still absolutely warming up. The last 37 years have all been above average temperatures from over the last 100 years.
On one hand, we have somebody like the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon.
Okay, I'll just leave it there. You can watch the rest of it on your own. It's too upsetting to actually watch. It's very, very troubling, ladies and gentlemen, to have to look at this material and to know that there are so many people that are taken in by it. And I can see the time coming when the carbon tax is going to come back. It's going to come back with a different name, and they may go back to calling it an emissions trading, or they'll find some other fancy name for it. It'll be the same thing. And it may well be the Liberal government that brings it in. I mean, they're just not giving up. Despite the fact that the people have spoken and we don't want it, the elitists just keep trying. They just keep coming at you. I want to play to you now a clip from George Brandis, Senator George Brandis. Sorry, not George Brandis, Christensen. Senator George Christensen, who has been raising the issue of transparency from the Bureau of Meteorology, which has not been giving us full and accurate temperature records. George Christensen, a member of the Nationals Party, claimed the Bureau of Meteorology had fudged records of rising temperatures as well as tampering with older data in order to justify claims of climate change. The member for the seat of Dawson, sorry, he's not a senator, I made a mistake, he is the member for the seat of Dawson in Queensland, and he referred to records from a drought in 1896 when temperatures reached 50 degrees centigrade in Camden, southwest of Sydney, as well as 43 degrees centigrade in Geelong, southwest of Melbourne. Here we go.
Order, call the Honourable Member for Dawson.
Well, thank you, Mr Deputy Speaker, and I rise to paint a picture of climate change, a picture where Camden, just to the southwest of Sydney, is sweltering in 50-degree heat. Over in the west, it's 51 degrees. In the shade at Geraldton, even Perth is 44, Geelong 43, Wilcannia 48, Carnarvon 49.5, and Southern Cross is 50 degrees. The death rate is 12 in 100,000 from heat-associated deaths. 435 are dead over a summer. This is not a Green Scare campaign, but the Federation drought 118 years ago.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm playing to you a clip from MP George Christensen talking about data manipulation by the Bureau of Meteorology in Australia. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it? And at that point, they...
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Great to have your company today. And I'm playing to you a clip from MP George Christensen, who's been raising concerns in Parliament about the way in which the Bureau of Meteorology has suppressed historical data, which actually demonstrates that it was a great deal hotter in the previous century and earlier in the 20th century than it has ever been in the late 20th century. I mean, there were peaks. There were incredible heat waves, which if you include that data in your trend lines, you get a very, very different picture of global climate. Now, of course, why would they alter it? Well, again, it doesn't make any sense unless you understand that there is a overarching agenda, which is at a global level. And many of the people who accuse this man of wearing a tinfoil hat and being a nut and all that, they just are in complete denial. You know, they call us denialists, right? But they are actually in real denial, folks, real denial, and very, very dangerously so, because some of them are very, very highly educated academics. Some of them are people with lots of degrees and letters after their name, and they are in a deep, they've got their head buried deeply in the sand. And, you know, with the leading educated people in a country acting like that, I tell you, there's big trouble coming. But, you know, here we see an MP, a person who was elected to represent the people, standing up and doing his job. So let me just continue from where I left off here. Senator Christensen talking about the altered data from the Bureau of Meteorology.
It has never been as hot since, but the Bureau of Meteorology claims it's getting hotter and hotter. How could it be getting hotter? And how could last year, 2013, be the hottest on record? If it was hotter back in 1896, if it was really hotter 118 years ago? Well, administratively, it's relatively simple. The early years are simply wiped from the official record. Sure, you can find the values I'm quoting at the Bureau's website, but they're not part of the official record, the Australian Climate Observation Reference Network Surface Air Temperatures, or ACORNSAT. The official temperature record, the record that the Bureau uses to report on climate change issues and temperature trends, only starts in 1910 and only uses data from 112 stations. But it doesn't use the same 112 stations for the entire period. Consider Wilcannia, a really hot town in New South Wales, the town that recorded 48 degrees Celsius in the shade back in January 1896. Wilcannia has a record that starts in 1879, and the standard structure for housing a thermometer, a Stevenson screen, was installed in 1908. But data from Wilcannia is only incorporated into ACORNSAT from 1957. Obviously, if you add the hottest towns into a series later, then it will appear that it's getting hotter, even if it isn't. So the Wilcannia values are added to ACORNSAT only from 1957, but not the values as actually recorded at Wilcannia. For example, the maximum temperatures from 1973 were all dropped down by 0.55 of a degree Celsius. Obviously, if you drop down all of the temperatures before 1973, then all the later temperatures will appear warmer, even if they are not. This change to all of the Wilcannia maximum temperatures before 1973 is listed in this 28-page summary of adjustments released by the Bureau following a series of articles in the Australian newspaper by Graham Lloyd, drawing extensively from the work of Dr. Jennifer Marahasi and Ken Stewart. The series in The Australian detailed similar corruption of the record at Rutherglen in Victoria, Amberley in Queensland, Deniliquin in New South Wales. That 28-page document makes for extraordinary reading. It says that maximum temperatures have dropped down by 0.56 of a degree at Bridgetown before 1981, by 0.56 of a degree at Richmond at Queensland before 1952, by 0.53 of a degree at Sale before 1970, and the reason given is statistics. At Cape Otway, an automated weather station is installed in 1994, the consequence, a 0.5 of a degree Celsius drop in temperatures before 1994. This 28-page document, which is titled ACORNSAT Station Adjustment Summary, shows that the temperature series for almost every site that makes up the ACORNSAT network that is used to report on official temperature change in Australia has been homogenised. In plain English, the raw data has been changed so that the past appears cooler relative to the present. The document tells us that statistics have been used to homogenise the record for Wilcannia from 1957, but it doesn't tell us why the Wilcannia record doesn't begin in 1910. It is also unclear why ACORNSAT only starts in 1910. The Bureau claims that before 1910 there were no Stevenson screens, a structure now considered standard for housing thermometers, as though this is a good reason for excluding earlier records. In reality, many Stevenson screens were installed from 1889. How can the Bureau justify these actions? Consider the accountant joke, Mr Deputy Speaker. Three applicants for an accounting job were asked the same question. What's 1 plus 1? The first two applicants say 2. But the third turns around, locks the door, pulls down the blinds, leans in and whispers, "What do you want it to be?" Well, I'll be writing to the Parliamentary Secretary this week to request an inquiry into the conduct of the Bureau of Meteorology and the homogenisation process. We cannot have two sets of books at the Bureau and use fudge figures skewed to support a global warming hypothesis as the official records. These fudge figures are being used for media reporting and scientific analysis. We have a scientific process here being tainted right at the source by a government department. And I seek to table this document from the Bureau of Meteorology.
Leave granted.
Okay, we'll just leave it there. Now, of course, this statement from George Christensen has led to him being accused of being a conspiracy theorist, as you can well imagine. And I have an article here from The Guardian. This has been reported on by The Guardian. Climate skeptics see a conspiracy in Australia's record-breaking heat. Bureau of Meteorology says claims from one climate skeptic that it has corrupted temperature data are false. Now, Jennifer Merihassi, who was referred to there by Mr. Christensen, is a scientist. She's actually a biologist. Now, the fact that she's not a climate scientist, of course, is being used to drag her through the mud. What I typically see with the way in which the proponents of this whole agenda come forward is they always attack on the basis of the person. They always use the ad hominem approach, whether they attack a person's credentials, whether they just say the person's loopy, that they use some method of denigrating the person as part of their argument. And this is what I've just noticed from one-on-one discussions and debates I've had. This article, just reading from this article from The Guardian, you could cut the triumphalism on the climate science denialist blogs right now with a hardback copy of George Orwell's 1984. Their unbridled joy comes not in the wake of some key research published in the scientific literature, but in the fact that a climate skeptic has got mainstream newspaper to give their conspiracy theory another airing. Notice they keep using the word conspiracy again and again, and they use denialist. This is an ad hominem type of approach. It's just like, let's smear the person with a lot of nasty type of words so you can't take in anything that they have to say. The skeptic in question is Dr. Jennifer Merihassi, a longtime doubter of human-caused climate change, whose research at Central Queensland University is funded by another climate change skeptic. I chose the 1984 analogy in my introduction because it is one of Merihassi's favourites. She likes to compare the work of the Bureau of Meteorology to various goings-on in Orwell's fictional dystopian novel. The conspiracy theory is that BOM, that stands for Bureau of Meteorology, is using a technique to selectively tamper with its temperature data so that it better fits with the global warming narrative. The people at NASA are in on it too. Now, the great thing about conspiracy theories is that for believers, attempts to correct the record just serve to reinforce the conspiracy. Like a video clip of the moon landing on a constant loop, the whole thing feeds back on itself. So they now brought in the moon landing conspiracy theories. And I just need to finish off, we're at the end of the hour, and I just need to finish off by saying that we're at a point where in our civilization where I believe we're on the brink of collapse, folks. I mean, you can't have this level of rudeness without the fabric starting to break in our society. I mean, George Christensen is an MP. Jennifer Marahasi is a practicing academic who works for a university. And the media is just rolling their eyes and thumbing their nose and going, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, you're just some loopy lunatic. Ha, 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 shut up. They've got their fingers in their ears, right? Just shouting obscenities. This is actually what's going on. And this can't continue much longer. I mean, we've either got to have all-out war, we've got to have like a civil war, and possibly a very bloody one, or people have got to come to their senses and understand that we have to listen to each other. You have to listen to the fact that the vast majority of Australians, according to every single poll, were against carbon taxes. That's the end of the show for this week. I hope it was worth it for you. I certainly got some interesting information out of it myself. I will be back next week, hopefully with a guest. Do stay tuned. It's great to have you aboard, and thanks so much for all your support. Signing out, Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be back next week.